You're listening to a 3CR podcast recorded in the 3CR Community Radio Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you like what you hear, please consider donating or subscribing so we can keep bringing you more independent community content. For more information, go to 3cr.org.au.
Hi, I'm Kim Salmon. I'd like to have a quick word about public radio, particularly 3CR. The thing about public radio is that it's more open than the more formatted types of radio to what's going on around it. So when you listen to it, you're more likely to hear a reflection of real life. And 3CR, being in the heart of Smith Street, Collingwood, is a particularly good example of what I'm talking about. If you'd like to subscribe, the number is 94198377.
You've been listening.
The bicycle is its own best argument. Just get a bike. Try it. Start going with the thing and using it as it suits you. It'll grow and it gets better and better and better. That's from Richard Ballantyne.
Well, we know where we're going, but we don't know where we've been. And we know seen, and we're not little children, and we know what we want, and the future is certain. Give us time to work it out.
And if you've got time to work it out, you're listening to the Yarrabug radio show here on 3CR, podcasting, streaming, or listening on that AWA transistor in the kitchen. Many thanks to Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! America, what can we say? Not much. I'm looking for a laugh from Faith. It's not going to happen.
The grimace.
The grimace. We've got a bit of a show coming up. Many thanks to Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! If you do want a window into independent media in America, it's a place to go. Look, the sun's shining. Persian lilacs are out. If now is not a good time to get on a bike, the stars are aligned and it's red time and ready for it. Good morning, Faith.
Good morning, Val.
I'm running out of steam. I'm pushing up that hill. I got passed by three electric bikes this morning. Fair dinkum. And I think all of them are older than me. It is. Every time I ride, you know, I am just completely, especially at commuter time, a little bit after, I'm continually loving watching people who you would not see on a bike 10 years ago, on a bike, kid seat on the back, off we pop. It's just lovely to watch. Speaking of those lovely bicycle moments, let's slide right into it.
Well, I guess the most recent one is this morning. It's repetitive. It's one I've had before, but it never gets old. I swung onto the Capital City Trail just west of Velo Cycles, came sort of around that little bend around the shop, and the light was green. And was able to just sail across Nicholson Street instead of having the 7 minute wait or whatever ridiculous wait it is at the lights. So
starting to sound like a car driver.
it's one of the best things.
And there are no pedestrians on the bike lane on the crossing at all. Anyway,
it's but what I did notice this morning, and so to your point, it was a beautiful morning, and I just like there are little points on the ride, especially on the East Brunswick shimmy, at which you cross another street, you'll see a few riders, some going with you, some going the other way, and some on the cross streets.
Yeah.
And I thought, and this has happened a few times in the last few weeks, I mean, after winter, you do expect when the weather gets better, you'll suddenly see a few more people out on the bike. Although this winter, I felt like it did not drop much.
No.
But this morning I thought, wow, there are a lot of people out on their bikes. And I don't know if, you know, I haven't seen any figures to back this up, but I thought this feels a bit 2014-15 in terms of numbers.
Yeah.
Like just a bit more than we've had for quite a few years. Yeah. I think 2016 was the peak. But, yeah, it just felt quite busy, and that's happened a few times lately. So.
It's interesting. Obviously, there are ups and downs in it, but I think you're right. But it's, you know, very hard to get hard figures. I'm not sure where you're. But, I mean, I live in an area which has been a little bit slow. I live in a segmented part of Yarra that's been a little bit slow to actually really embrace bicycle riding as a means of transport. So every time I see somebody in my local area adopting it, I go, well, actually, it's filtering into here. So it must be just as big outside.
I mean, I guess we could compare the figures. The bike counter at the Nicholson Street crossing on the Capital City Trail, that would be a good comparison point.
But
it just feels a bit different.
Well, look, I've got a couple of bike moments, if that's all right. We've got a bit of time. Apart from grand final day, Melbourne Cup Day is one of the best days to go for a long ride. And actually, on my anecdotal estimation of how many bikes were around, Cup afternoon says there were plenty of bikes and hardly any cars.
Yeah.
It was just perfect. Yeah. So that's always a wonderful day, I must admit. I did my big city loop, ran up north, across Sydney Road, down to the other side, back in along Footscray Road or Dynon Road. And it is a lovely ride. But I've got to look, a friend, a cyclist from my local park, Dog Walker, telling me a story. Once you're all, what have I learned, you know? You know, that's a buzzword, learnings nowadays. I'm even using it. Anyway, Helen, it wasn't a funny story, so I'll tell the story as she told it. And Helen's a road bike rider, and so she's on a ride, must have been a week or two ago, has a flat tyre, and Helen's bike would be a very modern bike, so it would be disc. And so she's had a flat, and Good Samaritans decided to give her a hand, and she'd have, you know, gator skins or one of those really tight clincher tyres on. And obviously the Good Samaritan wasn't too skillful in doing this. Delaminated her carbon wheel. Oh, no. Oh, she looked like she, I mean, this was obviously a week or a couple of days after the event. She still wanted to pull his head off. I'm not.
Do you want to hear a Good Samaritan story?
Yeah, now we're back in the New Testament. Why not?
So I ride with a group of women in Faulkner on Fridays, most of whom are very new to riding. And we were riding. There's possibly eight of us. We were riding back into Faulkner, and one woman, the chain came off, and she has a step through. With a chain guard. And so we stopped, and she was holding the bike, and I was bending down just to put this chain back on, and this man comes running across the road and yells, "Stop! Stop, don't touch it! I'll do it." And we were kind of, and we start to say, "No, it's okay. Don't worry about it. It's fine." And he goes into this, "No, it will rip your fingers off." And then he dives at the bike, insists no one can touch it. And he's very loudly and assertively telling us about his mate who lost fingers trying to do this. Yep. It's quite clear that, you know, we just got to a point where we felt, well, we'll just don't want to antagonize him because he was a little bit excitable.
Yeah.
So we said, okay, fine. Anyway, so And then we watch him spend 5-8 minutes wrestling to get this quite straightforward. And then he goes and gets his bag. He says, you know, this isn't working, and pulls out his plastering trowel to start digging in, because he's jammed the chain in even worse than it originally was. And he just kept talking about how we couldn't possibly do this. It was far too dangerous and he would fix it. And it was going on forever. And we're all just standing there, but not wanting to antagonize him at all. And eventually I thought, I know how to fix this. So I just said to him, oh, actually, the shed's just up the road. We can ask the blokes there to do it. They've got the tools.
Yeah.
And he just leapt up and went, oh, the blokes at the shed have got the tools. And I went, yeah, the blokes at the shed will do it for us. And he went, oh, that's okay, but just make sure you don't touch it.
Yep.
And we went, yes, yes, we won't touch it. And then he left and walked over the road and eventually got in his car, and we waited for him to drive off. And then we put it on in 2 seconds.
Pedal backwards, it went onto the rest of the chain ring, and off you popped, and you didn't even have dirty hands.
And off we went to the imaginary shed with the imaginary blokes.
That's a good improvisation to pull that pretty quickly. That's nice work.
I had a lot of time to think about it. I was thinking, what will he accept as an alternative to him completely destroying her bike with his
trowel? Oh, it's amazing. Well, thank God he didn't pull a hammer out of the box, because that would have been the next thing.
Yes, yes.
It's interesting. I mean, I'm sure there's a psychological term for it. You know, we think we're better skilled than we actually are sometimes. And in both those cases, there's technique involved to doing something.
Well, I'm just being able to recognise that I don't have the technique to do this. You're better off not being helped by me.
The assumption is you don't have the technique. God bless him. Where would we be without them? Look, we're going to slide into a bit of news. Look, a great Victorian institution or ride is coming to an end. I speak of the Great Victorian Bike Ride. It's the last edition this year.
In this format. Yeah. And I think that's the thing. You know, it started 40 years ago.
And
it was a very different world.
Yep.
I think people who were excited about that sort of ride had quite different expectations.
Yep.
And it was a much easier thing for people to do, whereas now we're, you know,
take 10 days, 2 weeks off.
Schools, you know? It's not easy for schools.
Yeah.
Like you can't just say, oh, look, we're going to send the kids off with a couple of teachers and parents.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's all these rules, and people have to be paid. And so a lot of things have changed since it started.
Yeah.
It just makes it, I think it's a massive beast.
Oh, yeah.
The volume.
Logistics, the volume.
Of people.
Yep.
And money to move. Ancillary that size services. From day to day is it's a huge operation.
Yeah,
yeah.
Look, because you mentioned teachers. Now, a friend of mine, primary school teacher, had been at the same school for a long time, and it was her gig. You know, grade six kids. She and another teacher, and she did that year after year, still doing it, must have been doing it for 10, 12 years, no doubt.
Yeah.
And she used to say to me, look, the first couple of days was a bit tough, but had once you took the chill out of the kids after 2 days of ride, everything came a lot easier.
Yeah.
But, you know, she and the class, I think, they saw it as a rite of passage, actually, that this was their school camp, their all those things locked together.
And it's been a huge thing for schools over the years, and still is for some, but I think it's just become harder and harder for schools to get involved.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that big base, then the whole thing becomes harder. And it's, you know, it's, I mean, the options, you kind of think that first ride, everyone just rocked up with a tent and whatever. And now it's like, do you want to book, have someone put your tent up for you? Well, do you want to book a tent that's already one of our tents, or do you want a stand-up tent? Or like, it's complicated.
Getting close to glam camping. Yeah.
And you know, maybe you have to do that to keep people coming, but then it just makes it a really unwieldy beast, I think. 300 volunteers also have to be moved around. And,
Police checked. And, I mean, there's some people think there's not much that goes on with this, but, you know, you volunteer for something, you're running, working with children's checks, you're running police checks, all those things, plus organising it all.
Yeah. And then they have to every day be moved from one site to another.
Yep, yep.
And, So this is the last year it'll be running, and so they're going to be doing something very similar to the initial.
Oh, good.
The very first one started in Wodonga, so this will.
Yep.
And the first one, people caught the train up.
Yep.
So there is a train option in getting up to Wodonga. Perfect.
Yeah.
And there'll be some other. The first one, there were some penny farthing riders on the ride. So Dan Bolwell from Penny Farthing Dan and his crew of amazing penny farthing riders. A lot of them are all going on it.
Oh, so, good. Yeah. It makes a real celebration.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just before we move off it, there's the wonderful story about at some stage when you signed up, if you didn't have a bike, they gave you the bike. Now, a lot of people around Melbourne might remember these bikes, either the green and chocolate one, called the Peppermint Crisp, or the yellow and purple, called the Violet Crumble.
Yep.
And you know what? I still see some of those bikes come down to Second Chance Cycles, still in working condition.
Well, since you mention it.
Yep, you've got an example of both of those.
No, what happened was one year, Moorlanbug got a grant to give away 500 bikes to residents of Coburg and Pasco Vale.
Simon Stainsbury, yeah.
And were going to order the bikes from China.
Yep.
But then Bicycle Victoria, as it was then, this is 2011, had ordered the bikes in for, they used to do a Western Australia great ride.
So the ones tagged with Western Australia.
And they had too many bikes.
Yeah.
So instead of getting them from China, we bought them from Bicycle Victoria. We bought 500 and gave them to people. And you used to, it's 13 years now since that happened.
I was going to say, yeah.
And you'd occasionally see one around.
Yeah.
So they were branded the Great Western Australia Bike Ride, but we had an Ohay Bike Town sticker that went on top.
Ah, yeah.
And coincidentally, I put a call out on social media. Is there anyone who's still
got one?
So I've heard back from about 10 people who got one at the day. They don't still have it.
Yeah.
But then someone got in touch because just after I posted that, he saw a woman riding one.
Yeah.
And followed her and found out. And she'd bought it on Marketplace. I'm amazed it's still going because they were cheap bikes.
They were, accessible. Calling them Peppermint Crisp and Violet Crumbles because they could actually shatter in some places. But anyway, I remember that program. Interesting that they're still around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe hers has been sitting in a shed, unused and protected from the elements. Maybe that's. But she's just brought it off Marketplace and is using it to commute. So. Yeah.
So some things have a, you know, lasting impact.
Yeah. One thing Bicycle Victoria used to do that I really liked also was Easter Bike. So they you would go to some regional centre and camp, but you would stay in the one place for the whole of Easter, and then every day there would be ride options of different lengths. And so, for example, all the kids would be taken off on kids' rides.
Yeah.
And as their parent, you could go on one of the longer ones if you wanted. And so there might be, you know, a 30K ride, a 50 or 60 and 100. Yeah. And then you all come back in the evening to the same spot.
Yeah.
And that was held over Easter's. And I don't know when it stopped. It was still happening up until about 2000, and when I came back from Europe, it had stopped.
There are a few of those who've bit the dust. Listen, we're going to be back just after this announcement. Down and dirty,
round the campfire. Hi, this is Shirley Hood. You're invited to the 2024 Beyond the Bar CD launch on Thursday, the 21st of November at the Deering Centre behind the Collingwood Town Hall. I'll be there as MC for an evening of talks and music, including a panel discussion with some of our Deadly broadcasters and live music with our Deadly Bart Willoughby. Thursday, the 21st of November, the Deering Centre. That's behind the Collingwood Town Hall. 6:30pm until 8:30pm. Put this in your diary. Free CDs, snacks and drinks provided. All welcome, so I'll see you there. Brr.
And you're back listening to the Yarrabug Radio Show with Val and Faith. Just one last thing on the Great Vic Bike Ride.
Yeah, I listen. This is a sad day.
Yeah.
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 But it's a day to actually look back on it and say how good it was.
Yeah, and maybe something really good will also we'll come out of it. One thing is this ride will finish this year on with the Black Spur. And it will be closed to car traffic.
Oh, there we go.
Which is one of the most stunning roads in Victoria, and one also that you would never, ever ride on because it's also really attractive to drivers who love a
the
sweeping...
sound of their pistons.
But I think one of the interesting things about that is in the 1890s, the Black Spur was a very popular ride with people in Melbourne. It was a challenging ride, but there's a lot of reports in the local cycling mags and that have when people go out and do their ride along the Black Spur.
Yeah.
Back then, it was actually not. We call it Black Spur.
Yeah.
Back then, it was actually called the Blacks apostrophe S Spur.
Yeah.
And it was the route that Barak and other Indigenous Australians took when they walked to the mission at Corindock in Healesville. So it was a well-known route used by Indigenous Australians and so was named by Europeans the Blacks Spur.
Yeah.
And obviously somewhere along the line someone's changed it. But an amazing opportunity to be able to ride on that road without car traffic.
Yeah.
Which,
you know, that ride close to Great Ocean Road, all those sort of things, roads that you wouldn't have ever been able to ride on safely.
Yeah, yeah. That'll be an amazing finish.
Yeah. Cool. There we go. You'll have to program your own now. But that's not too hard. That's not too hard.
No. And also... probably worth mentioning for those who have been following their local council elections.
Yes.
And are wondering who's been elected and who, you know, whether it's someone who's going to help keep residents safe as they try and move around. Preferences are now being counted in most LGAs and results for different areas will start going up on the VEC website from tomorrow.
Yeah.
So you might already know if you've been following Six News, The Age also have a blog. You might know the results for some of the wards in your area.
Yeah.
But the official declared results will go up. Yarra and Marybeck will be tomorrow on the VEC website.
Yep.
There might be other LGAs on tomorrow as well. And from tomorrow until I think they're all going to be up by the end of the week.
Yeah. Just a quick squeeze this morning and Friday. Well, it hadn't changed since Friday. I've got to say the one thing I've taken away, there are only two seats, I think, declared in Yarra. But the thing that I was looking at was on about the four that I look closely at, a couple – under 70% response, and a couple of the others sitting about 72%. I'm not sure whether it's my error, and that's out of a possible enrolment of about 7,000. So in a couple of the wards that around my area, 5,500 people voting, you know, so...
Are they areas with a lot of apartments or...
No, well, look, part of the Electoral Commission is to make sure they all sit at a roughly the same size. I'm not sure how Marybeck fits, but in Yarra, they're all around 7,000, 8,000 people.
But, I mean, where the voting was lower. Like, that's one of the theories that maybe people who are renting haven't updated their enrolments. Oh,
look, when I looked, some of the areas, and look, this is only two areas with the full numbers up. Some of the others have got the full numbers up before they do the preferences. I would have said, just off the top of my head, my area is a little bit not high rise, high density, and it was about 71%. I think one of the ones that you would call higher density, and I'm not sure whether this was because of a high-profile candidate, but they were up about 74 or something like that. So there is a bit of swing of 5 to 5 percentage points from one ward to the other.
Yeah.
So we look forward to that, and then we actually look forward to seeing how actually, from my looking at it, we're going to have a fresh new bunch of councillors. Apart from
in Yarra,
apart from one, I think.
Yeah, maybe, no, not many incumbents getting two. Elected.
Well, it's the year of the incumbent dying, I suppose. In a lot of ways, we're seeing it here.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. It's always there's a big learning curve for new councillors, and they get a lot of briefings from council, and that is part of their sort of learning. You hear a lot of people talking about what they're going to do when they get on council, and you might be aware that many of those things can't actually be done or aren't even under council's remit. So they do go through a big learning curve, and officers will do that. But another part of that can be from the community. And it's really useful if you get in early and introduce yourself to councillors and tell them what your concerns are, and that's part of the learning for them too.
Interesting. I mean, just as an off chance, even with that lower number of people in the electorate, I had one fairly long chat with the candidate, only because she was leafletting places while I was walking the dog. Didn't get door knocked once, which I found, you know, you could win a council seat if you got 2,000 people to vote for you.
Yeah.
That's not a big number.
Yeah.
And for all that I read on different elections in England, America now, door knocking is one of those big things.
Yeah, I think it is. And one thing, you know, we haven't had a chance to work this out for everyone, but on the streets, people love website where, you know, for Marybeck, for example, you've got 57% of candidates did the Streets People Love survey, and those candidates won 58% of the vote.
Yeah.
So, again, doing those surveys is another way of engaging with the local community, like door knocking and talking and hearing from people. So it's a really important part of it.
Grassroots campaigning. There we go. What else?
I'm sorry. I thought you were looking at the clock because we have to stop.
Too true. Lovely weather. Do you know if we're having another critical mass at the...
There is going to be a critical mass at the end of the month, and it's heading south.
Heading south.
Heading south. So beach vibes.
Yep.
Take an esky. I think they're going to finish at the beach.
Yeah, it's in Kilda Beach.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. It'll be a really good...
lovely.
...ride to take part in.
Good ride. I went the last one. Another good ride. Interesting, about three or four really old crew showing back up. Somebody had been on the first critical mass, back in the critical mass, which was hilarious. So, and it's... I'm really enjoying it, actually.
Yeah.
So
it's good to have it back on the roads.
Yeah. And it's a good form.
Yep. That's all we have time for today. Coming up next
will be Shebop.
But we can't say what we've seen, and we're not little children, and we know what we want, and the future is certain.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.